Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
One thing we need to get straight are the rules, okay? Can everybody say amen at the top of their lungs?
Amen.
Okay, now do it out loud, not just in your head. Ready?
Amen.
Okay, that is like sic'em to a bulldog. So you feel free at any moment to say amen or to hold up your King James Bible throughout this conference, okay? Now, to the preachers, the rules are, we always do the same rules, okay? Any verse that I use tonight, you cannot use the rest of the conference. My brother Sasser tried to preach my whole sermon just a second ago, but he didn't use any verses, so that don't count. So you need to pull it right up. You've got to not just talk about it, but read it. If you will, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Timothy chapter 2. Come on in, folks. I got my water waiting for me down there. And let's open with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for everything you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for the blessing of being able to be saved. And we thank you for the King James Bible you perfectly preserved. And Lord, pray help us to be able to open up the Bible today and to get something from the Word of God that you have for us to get. Lord, I pray you would take me out of the way and all the other preachers out of the way and let the Holy Spirit speak through the hearts, through the Scriptures. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name, Lord's sake. Amen. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Now, he says I have an hour and 24 minutes, and so I'm going to kind of keep track on that and make sure it goes like it's supposed to. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm going to attempt today, to the best of the ability the Lord's laid on my heart, to rightly divide the word of truth. Now I just dropped that.
Go ahead.
2 Timothy chapter 3, turn over there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for. Okay? And it's going to give a list of things that the Bible, the Word of God, is profitable for. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now you notice there in your Bible it says thoroughly furnished, not thoroughly furnished. There's a difference between thoroughly and thoroughly. Okay? Thoroughly furnished is, you take a big sponge, okay, and you get a sponge just soaking wet, and you hold it over, and it's holding all the water. It holds maybe a gallon of water, a big giant sponge, right? And it is thoroughly soaked. Then you take one more little itty-bitty thimble of water to pour it through the top, and it starts coming out the bottom, doesn't it? That's thoroughly soaked. Okay? The Bible is thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's going to take care of you. We're going to use the King James Bible tonight, and we're going to try and rightly divide it and see if we can learn anything from one verse. Okay, look at Galatians 1:1. Galatians is my favorite book in the Bible, and no particular purpose. I just really like it. I wrote a commentary on Galatians, verse by verse, so that my kids would be able to have... basically, they all wanted my Bible school Bible because it has all the cheater notes on it. And I couldn't give it to all of them. I have four children. And so I just wrote a commentary verse by verse through it. And I started with Galatians. Verse 1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. We're going to take that one verse, and we have markers, and we're going to try and learn some things from that one verse and see if that one verse can teach us anything.
Set forward it closer?
As long as you guys can see it, it's fine with me. Because I'm not going to be going back to it anymore. These are the points that we're going to cover in this verse. In Galatians 1:1, I'm just going to roll through this while he adjusts those things. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. I want to look at that first word that says Paul, okay? Paul. And you notice it starts off the book of course, obviously the chapter and the verse, but it starts off the book with the word Paul. Have you ever heard about what a salutation is? Like, a salutation is a greeting, okay? In English, salutation means greeting. Like, we would say hello. Or if we were writing a letter, we would say, Dear Lynn, okay? That would be our salutation in a letter. But Paul's salutation is his name, the word Paul. Look over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, no conference would be any good without some kind of little controversial subject. So I might say some things that I believe in, and you don't. Well, that's okay. We can still remain friends. We're not going to differ on the gospel. But, you know, some things might be what I call Gilbertology. Okay, that's what I believe. And I can believe it versus what you believe, and that's fine. We'll still have fellowship. Like, for instance, I know that a lot of things, not a lot of things, but some things that Pastor Byron teaches, I know are wrong.
You wait till it's my time.
But I'll tell you what, there's only been one pastor that I ever have been under, ever, in my whole life, where I believed every single thing that he believed 100% down the line, verse by verse, 100%. And that's the pastor I'm under right now. And that's me. Prattville, Alabama, Faith Bible Church. Okay, everything that guy preaches, even he'll change his mind on something, and I'll be right on it. It's like we're thinking the same thing. All of a sudden, I get them. Okay? But that's if you want to if you don't believe that every single thing your pastor does, start a church, and then you will. Until then, support him.
Amen.
Until then, support him. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 17. Second verse from the end of the book. The Bible says, the salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is a token in every epistle, so I write. I can only take from what it says. And it says that the salutation of Paul in every epistle that he writes is his name. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is a token in every epistle, so I write. If you go to Romans, Galatians, 1 Corinthians, go to Ephesians, flip over to 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Don't matter where you go to in Paul's epistles, they all start with the word Paul. Okay? That would be his salutation. Now, what does the book Hebrews start with? Start with God. People ask me, who do you think wrote Hebrews? And I say, well, it's obvious. It's right there. God. Do you think Paul wrote it? No, I know he didn't.
That's right.
Because it says right here, the salutation by mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. And there's lots more reasons, but that's one right there that kind of makes it obvious for me that God wrote Hebrews. Paul's not the apostle to the Hebrews. But it says Paul. We're starting with just that top one, Paul. Okay? Another thing is look at Galatians chapter 6 in one hand. Galatians chapter 6 in one hand. And then flip over to Hebrews chapter 13. So the last chapter of Hebrews and the last chapter of Galatians. And I apologize if we're going to use a lot of verses. But see, I'm not very good at telling what God's thinking. And so I'll just tell you what the Bible says and you guys can figure out what God's thinking, okay? Because I don't know. I don't understand the ones where they do one verse, like old Smiley on TV. You guys ever, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Osteen.
Huh? What?
Blank.
No. You know Joel Osteen?
Yeah, that's Blanky.
Oh, I call him Smiley.
No, okay. It's Blanky.
That man can go on one verse, read half of it, and then go on for an hour.
Yeah.
Talking about all sorts of stuff. And I'm just not good at that. And so I'll just stick with the verses, okay? Let's start in Galatians chapter 6. We got somebody trying to come in. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 11. The Bible says, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. Now notice it does not say, you see how with such large letters I have written unto you with mine own hand, does it? See, I just choose to accept and believe what the Bible says. The Bible says, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand.
Right.
And it only covers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 and a quarter pages of my Bible. six and a quarter pages, and that's a large letter according to Paul's definition. Okay? Now, Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. If Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, or the same author who wrote Galatians, if he wrote that, then when we go to Galatians chapter 13 and we look at verse 22, the Bible says, and I beseech you, verse 22, Galatians 13, or Hebrews 13, and I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. How can a 12 or 13 page book, 13 chapters, how can that be a letter in few words by the same author who wrote someplace else that I write a letter unto you, a large letter, and it's only half, less than half the size? Now, some may disagree with that. I'm not that smart. I just have to believe what it says, where it says it, and that's how it falls down. But from that one verse of Galatians 1:1, we start off with the word Paul. Now, we can learn something about that man. We can learn that he wrote Romans through Philemon in your King James Bible. And that God put those in the order that God wanted them. He put Romans and then 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians. He put them exactly in the order that he wanted them in. Now, is that the same order that he wrote them in? That Paul wrote those books in? Of course not. I don't even try and figure out what book he wrote first. I just know he didn't write Romans first, and he didn't write Philemon last, and the rest is, if you say it some way, I'm like, that sounds good to me. Because it doesn't matter to me, really, at all. The only thing that matters to me is the way that God put it in his program, and he put it Romans through Philemon. And that's the way it seems to break apart for me, that I can rightly divide the word of truth that way.
Amen.
Now, so we got that part done, okay? Now, you might be afraid that all we've talked about was Paul, is that little tiny bit. But we got a little bit more. Now it talks about an apostle. See, Paul's not just the apostle, just an apostle, like it says in the verse in Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle. He's not just an apostle, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Now, I am a Gentile. Now, I don't see anything in his hands. Nobody throw anything up here, okay? But I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California.
Oh.
Yeah, see? I knew it. I'm getting ready to duck over here. But I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California, and the Lord saw fit to move me to the south, and he put me in the top part of Florida, over in the panhandle. And that's where I met Brother E.C. Moore and Brother Byron Wiggins and all these different folks, and met Pastor Wade Barrow, and I met all these folks, and then I had a chance to become a pastor, and I went to God's country, into Alabama.
Amen.
Roll Tide.
Amen.
Okay.
Praise your brother.
You can wear all the hats you want, but who's got all the championships?
That's right.
Okay? But we have an apostle, and our apostle is the apostle Paul. He's the apostle of the Gentiles, the Bible says. Let's start at the back, and let's go to Acts 28. Let's go. Acts chapter 28. Now, this is not part of Paul's epistles. What this is, the book of Acts is a transition book, folks. Acts is a book that has the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter main characters in it. It's called Acts. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. Acts is a short part for a word called action, right? So this is the missionary journeys or the actions of the apostles, Acts of the Apostles. The first half of your book, almost first half, is talking about and mainly presumed with Peter and the 12 and his crowd. Peter is the main character. The second half of the book, Paul's the main character. The book is written by Luke. When I go to Acts chapter 28, I know that I'm in the section of Acts that's written about the Apostle Paul. Okay? And I go to Acts 28 and I go to verse 28 and it tells me something very important. The Bible says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. If you ever have a problem with getting the gospel out, keep in mind what God said. They will hear it. If you go out and try and pass out tracts or stand on a street corner and wave a Bible, or you plan on starting a church, or you want to go door to door and get people saved, back your head, just keep on going. But the gospel went to the Gentile, and that they will hear it. Don't tell me all the reasons why people can't get saved around your area. What you're telling me is all the reasons why you can't witness around your area. And it all boils down to between here and here, you'll come up with every excuse known to man. It's the exact same if we talk about going to church. We've got people that came all the way from Texas to come here. I'm sure there's people who will go 30 or 40 or 50 miles to get to this church and hear the truth. If they want to. Am I right? If they want to. I went to Texas this past 2 weeks. I had a chance to go to Texas. My church let me go on an extended vacation. I was very thankful for it. And when I was there, I was visiting my son and daughter. And they live about 9 miles. You know, if you go on a straight road, you go right out the front gate of Fort Hood, and you go straight for 9 miles. You make one left, and a quarter mile down is a church. A good, independent, fundamental, King James only. Not dispensational, but it's right there, church that they could go to. And they've been there once in 6 months. I was only there 2 weeks, and I've been there twice. On Wednesday nights, both times. They didn't even, there was some excuse both those times they couldn't go. I hope they get this. I'm talking about you. And then on Sundays, I decided I wanted to go someplace where I wouldn't just hear the King James Bible preached, but I would hear it preached rightly divided. And so I went 3 hours to Brother Jerry's church. And you go, well, you went 3 hours to church? No, I went 7 hours to get there to go 3 hours to go to church. Because I wanted to hear the truth, folks.
Amen.
You have an opportunity in this small little area that if you have to drive 10 or 15 or 25 or 40 miles, I used to drive about 40 miles to go to Brother EC's and Brother Byron's church. Why did I drive that far? Because there was no other dispensational church around.
Amen.
I wanted to hear about grace. So we have the Apostle Paul is not just an apostle, but he's the apostle to the Gentiles. Look at Romans chapter 11. I say that because if you're in this area and anything at this conference speaks to you, then you ought to come to this church. I'm not trying to pull you out of your church because I don't even know what church you go to. But I think you should come here if you're in this area. If you want to learn the Bible, this is how you're going to learn it. In Romans chapter 11, look at verse 13. The Bible says, "For I speak to you Gentiles," that's everybody here, "inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Paul says he magnifies not himself, but his office. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Now remember, you can take these verses and you can circle them in your Bible, just like Galatians 2, we're going to read verse 8. You can circle it right now, because no other preacher, Brother Atwood, no other preacher during the whole time is allowed to use any of the verses that I read today. That, and then they'll continue. So the last person, they might be teaching out of Genesis. You know where Genesis is, don't you? That's the clean pages on the left side. Now, in Galatians 2, look at verse 8. The Bible says, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." Now, who wrote Galatians?
Paul.
So when he says, "The same is mighty in me," who's the me? Toward the who?
Gentiles.
So therefore, Paul is the apostle to the who?
Gentiles.
To the Gentiles. And we're all Gentiles here. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, at some point during this, I'm going to tell you the wrong verse. I might tell you 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm talking about 1 Thessalonians. Or I might say 1 Timothy chapter 2 and start reading 1 Thessalonians. So feel free to raise your hand and say you're wrong, because I normally do it every single time. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 7. The Bible says, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." Verity means truth. Paul says that he is for the Gentiles. Look over at Romans, excuse me. Yes, Romans chapter 15. See, I want to start off this conference with just some basics of dispensational truth. Just some basics of the grace doctrine that we're going to go over during this time. In Romans chapter 15, look at verse 15. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of who?
God.
Of God. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." So who's the apostle to the Gentiles?
Paul.
So in Galatians 1:1, where we read Paul an apostle, Paul wasn't just an apostle, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. I'm not part of the 12 tribes of Israel. If you think you are part of the 12 tribes of Israel, just tell me which tribe are you in.
That's right.
You can't say, well, we're spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel, what is that? Where is that found? You give me a book, chapter, and verse of what's spiritual Israel, and then maybe I'll believe it. Well, we're America. Yeah, so it's been around for a couple of hundred years only. 236 years America's been around. China's been around 4,000 or 3,500. Are they spiritual Israel? They're Gentiles.
Amen.
North Korea's been around for a long time, probably not another 5 or 10 minutes, but they've been around for a long time. Are they spiritual Israel?
No.
There's no such thing as spiritual Israel. Now we got Paul an apostle. Now who are we supposed to follow? If Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles, doesn't it make logical sense that we should follow Paul?
Amen.
Matter of fact, it seems like that God, if he was merciful to us, because you know we're not that bright, come on. Let's be honest. I mean, I'm not the brightest light on the Christmas tree. You know, I could find the college, didn't mean that I could make it through it.
Okay.
I went to college. There's a lot of girls at college. I went to college. Now, it doesn't mean I finished college, but I went, right? What about this, folks? Paul's our apostle. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. You would think that God would be merciful and tell us someplace in Scripture that we should follow that guy. Even if he didn't say that, though, shouldn't we logically figure it out? Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. We're Gentiles. We should follow Paul. Well, God didn't even want to trust us with that. He put it in his Bible one time, or two times, or three times. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. What is that? Wait a minute, let's read that again. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I, who's the I?
Paul.
Paul, if you don't believe me, go to verse chapter 1, verse 1. Starts off the word Paul. Paul, I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of
me.
That's kind of right there, isn't it? Let's read the next verse. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. That kind of sounds like we're supposed to follow Paul. But see, God knew he was going to create a Gilbert Shelley. So go to chapter 11. And I need really direct, just right there where you can see it plainly and clearly. Look at chapter 11 and look at verse 1. I always like it when non-grace preachers try and use this verse somehow. And I always go, it just says what it says. Why are you trying to make it into something else? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Does it say follow Christ? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So we're supposed to follow Christ the way Paul followed Christ.
Right.
We follow Paul. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And look at verse 17. This gets really to the point. It says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Not just follow me, but mark those who don't. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. To me, it's kind of clear. Paul says that he's the apostle of the Gentiles. How did he get that job? Did he make it up himself? You don't become an apostle because you make it up yourself. I know a self-ordained apostle. It's not the same thing. It just ain't. Okay. God made Paul an apostle.
Amen.
God made Paul the apostle to the Gentiles in this age of grace in which we live. We're going to be talking a lot about that in this conference. But we've only covered half of what I wanted to cover. The good news, Pastor Byron gave me another slot on Saturday night, so you're going to have to stick around to get the other half of it. So we're trying to go through one verse, Galatians 1:1, and pick out just a few of the points in one verse and see all we can learn from that one verse. We looked at Paul and we looked at an apostle. And we still have those other two areas to look at on Saturday night. But I want you to keep in mind something. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, right? He came to the Gentiles with the gospel. He came to the Gentiles with the gospel that he was given from God. And it was to the Gentiles. And the gospel is just a fancy word, a fancy King James Bible word for how do you get saved, or how do I go to heaven when I die, or how do I become a Christian? And know that when I die, I go to heaven instead of hell. That's what the word gospel means. Well, you take the word gospel and you say, Paul was given a gospel that is specifically for the Gentiles in the age of grace. After the cross, before the rapture of the church. That time period in there. The age of grace. And Paul's given a gospel that is so simple you can't miss it unless you just want to. You know the root word for ignorance is ignore. So if you ignore the gospel, I'll tell you how simple the gospel is. I learned it in one time. It was presented to me one time when I was 9 or 10. In Sunday school, a sweet Sunday school teacher. And I was going to a church that taught works to get saved. But she was saved by grace, and she was teaching her kids how to get saved by grace. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And this lady told me how to go to heaven when I died. And when she told me the gospel, guess what? I accepted it that fast. I said, this is a good deal.
Amen.
I'm not passing this up. You're going to be asked and be presented to the gospel probably 10 or 12 or 15 times this weekend. If you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you need to. I'm going to tell you how. It's very simple. Four simple things this lady told me. She said, Gilbert, when you die, would you rather go to heaven or go to hell? And I said, I got my hand up quick. Heaven! Why don't you want to go to hell? I don't want to burn forever and ever. And she said, good answer. Okay? And she said, there's four simple things that you have to believe and know about yourself in order to go to heaven. And if you believe and understand those things, then you can go to heaven. I said, great, give them to me. She said, number one, you have to understand you are a sinner.
Yeah.
The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right?
Right.
Well, I knew that I was a sinner. I'd already stolen something from a store. later to do many more times. But I had stolen from a store. I had stolen from my sister or cheated her really out of her allowance numerous times. I knew that I had said bad things either in my head, in my heart, or out of my mouth. I knew I was a sinner. If you're sitting here and you don't know that you're a sinner, let me tell you about a lady named Jane Moon, 79 years old, when I met her. I had this simple plan of salvation on the back of my business cards. And she said, "I don't understand this one verse." And I said, "Well, which verse is that?" And she said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I'm like, "How can you not understand that?" I said, "That, Miss Jane, that means that all of us are sinners." And she said, "Well, I don't really know. I don't really see myself as a sinner." I'm like, "What?" And I said, "Well, have you ever told a lie?" And she said, "No." And you know what? I looked at her Bible that was all tattered and worn and all written on and pages turned up and notes. And I said, "How long have you been going to church?" She said, 55 years. I was, "Okay, have you ever told a lie?" "No." So I'm thinking, what can I do? "Have you ever missed church?" "No."
"No."
I can't say, "Have you ever cheated on your husband?" You know, I can't say, "Have you ever murdered somebody?" I'm trying to think of, what can I say? What can I say to make her a sinner? I said, "Miss Jane, have you ever wasted time?" And she said, "Sure." And I said, "You know, the Bible says that's slothful and that's a sin." She goes, "I am a sinner." See, folks, you got to get lost before you can get saved. So I had to get this lady lost. She said, "Okay, I'm a sinner." Just like I told the Sunday school teacher, "I'm a sinner." Number one, down. And she said, "The second thing you have to understand and believe about yourself is that there's a price to pay for that sin." And I knew that meant you go to hell forever and ever. She said, "The only way you can pay for that yourself is to go to hell forever and ever." And I was like, "Well, that's not a good deal."
Nope.
She said, "The wages of sin is death." I said, "Well, so that means we're all going to hell?" And she said, "Hold on, I'm not done yet." I said, "Okay. Right now, we're all going to hell, because that's the only way you pay for it yourself." She said, "The third thing you have to understand and believe is that Jesus Christ already paid that price for you."
Amen.
When he died on the cross, he paid the price that you owe, your sin debt. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He died for you in your place to pay for your debt. And I said, "So we're all going to heaven?" And she said, "No, I'm not done yet." I said, "Okay. So I have to understand, one, I have to understand I'm a sinner." I got that. Understand there's a price to pay for being a sinner, and that's death and hell forever. I got that. Third step I have to understand and believe is that Christ already died in my place. That if no one had ever been born on the face of the earth, he would have died for Gilbert Shelham. And she said, "Yeah." She said, I said, what more could there be? And she said, the fourth step is you have to personally trust in what he did 2,000 years ago, and don't trust in being a good little boy. Stop trusting in you go to church and you put money in the plate and you treat your mom nice and you help old ladies across the street. Don't trust in that you're going to get a job someday and give 10% of your money to church or go there every single Sunday. Stop trusting in what you can do or have done, and trust that what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago was good enough for God's standards.
Amen.
And I said, you know what? I've always believed in Jesus Christ. I never can go back to a place in my brain where I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. But at that moment, I believed on Christ. And I trusted him as my personal Savior. And I said, you know what? When Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross of Calvary, he had Gilbert Shelton on his mind, and he said, "I forgive you of all your sins. I take that upon myself." And at that point, I got saved, and I haven't lost it since. And I promise you, I've tried, but you can't lose it. This is too good of a deal to pass up, folks. If you're not saved, right where you're at, we're not going to give an altar call, right where you're at, ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. Say, "Lord, I trust that you died on the cross for my sins, that you were buried, and that you rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and I trust that that is enough for God."
Amen.
And get saved today. Thank you very much.
Amen.